we see that the policies are not the equitable policies that we need. And we also see that there's no encouragement to the generations that are coming up. They don't have the opportunity to see themselves reflected in leadership, and they don't consider leadership as attainable. And I think, you know, we saw yesterday a federal budget that came forward that did try to put recovery for women at the center or closer to the center. You know, we see a strong effort coming on childcare. And we see that coming from, you know, Canada's first woman finance minister. Now, it doesn't mean that every woman who's been a finance minister across the country has acted in the same way. But, you know, there are studies that show it makes a difference. The 30% representation is considered a tipping point. If you have women at 30% in your elected representatives, things tend to tip towards social programs, education, things like that are get a higher priority. And I think certainly in Canada, we have yet to see what it would look like if we had much better representation, for example, of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people in government, you know, Black people in government. What would that look like? What kinds of changes would they bring from their life experience and their understanding of how this country works?
What else did you see in the budget that sort of is encouraging for you and the cause that you represent?
We saw some movement on gender-based violence. I think the activists were hoping for a little bit more so we'd get faster progress on the National Action Plan on gender-based violence, but we did see some attention there. We saw some more attention to housing and housing for women and girls, which are obviously crucial to safety. Some of the economic measures, like a $15 a day national minimum wage, these are very beneficial to women. I think people don't realize when you just say $15 an hour minimum wage that you're talking about a group of workers that is majority women. So these are key. Anything that really focuses on anti-poverty is beneficial to women because women do have lower incomes across the spectrum. We know there's a gender pay gap. We know there's more women who are low income in their older years. All of these things beg for a stronger social investments and for a better social safety net. And we saw a little movement on seniors at 75. I think the OAS is going to change. That's encouraging. But just to the general sense that it's not just physical infrastructure we need for recovery, that we need social infrastructure for recovery. Also the investments in long-term care. That is a workforce that is massively women, long-term care, personal support workers, up to 90% women. And also, as the population gets older, it balances much more towards women. So you've got more women than men living in long-term care. So investments there, and in particular investments in what we call the care economy, really make a difference to women's lives. And we need those jobs to be decent jobs with good benefits and a living wage. I think really important to just look to the future and how we take the conversation about women's leadership into something broader that's about leadership of women and gender diverse people, and that really takes a focus on getting some movement for First Nation, Métis, and Inuit women, Black women, racialized and gender diverse populations, and those living with disabilities. So we need to broaden that. We need to see that representation really across the board so that government is more reflective of what's happening in the country and serves everyone. And we don't see these huge disparities that we've seen in cases of COVID, in economic impacts of COVID. We see them very heavily racialized and affecting impacts of women being pushed out of the workforce because of, you know, uneven childcare, uneven access to school for the kids, and jobs that are coming and going. So the more we can see this kind of change, the better.